Good evening, and thanks for attending tonight. And we'll take another reading in the Gospel of Luke, please. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 5. And I want to read quite a lot of this chapter, so we'll just go down some of the verses here in Luke's Gospel, chapter 5. Gospel of Luke, and chapter 5, and we'll start at verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him, that is, on the Lord Jesus, to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. Let's go down to verse 4. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. We'll go down to verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who, seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. And he charged him to tell no man, but go and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing, according as Moses commanded, for a testimony unto them. And we'll go down to verse 17. And it came to pass, on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. And behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy. And they sought means to bring him in and to lay him before him. And when they could not find by what way they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before Jesus. And when he saw their faith, he said unto him, Man, thy sins are forgiven thee. And the scribes and Pharisees began to reason, saying, Who is this which speaketh blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answering said unto them, What reason ye in your hearts, whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Rise up and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. He said unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise and take up thy couch, and go into thine house. And immediately he rose up before them, and took up that whereon he lay, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God, and were filled with fear, saying, We have seen strange things today. And we trust that God would bless the reading of these verses, and also what we've been hearing already this evening. In this passage that we've read from, there are really three very clear sections, and in fact, each one of them commences with the phrase, and it came to pass. So you see that in verse 1, and in verse 12, and in verse 17. And the Lord Jesus is central to each of those sections. And they give to us, each of these sections, they give to us a picture of the truth of the gospel, the truth of God's salvation. And I want to just bring out a number of principles from each of these three sections that we have read from. In verses 1 to 11, we've got the great catch of fish. And in response to that miraculous catch of fish, we saw there the reaction of Simon Peter, the fisherman there in verse 8. And he falls down at Jesus' knees and he says, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." So Peter, he recognized the deity, he recognized the creatorial glory of the Lord Jesus, and he was brought to a confession of his own sinfulness. So in that section, we have particularly the principle of man's sin and the need for confession, because Peter here makes confession when he says, "I am a sinful man, O Lord." Then in verses 12 to 16, we have the healing of the leprous man. And here is a man who was full of leprosy in verse 12. And he expresses his need for cleansing from his defilement of his leprosy. He says, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." And the Lord Jesus responds and he stretches forth his hand and he touches the man and he says, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately the man's leprosy departed from him. So there we have the principle of man's defilement and the need for cleansing. So in the first section, man's sin and the need for confession. Then we have man's defilement and the need for cleansing. And then in the last section, verses 17 to 26, we have the healing of the palsied man, a man who was paralyzed. He was unable to walk, and he was utterly weak, and he was helpless, and he needed his companions to lower him down through the roof of the house into the presence of the Savior, where the Lord Jesus was. And the Lord Jesus heals him, and he uses that occasion. And the Pharisees and scribes are there, and they're opposing what he's doing. And he uses that to demonstrate that it is his authority to forgive sins. And so, verse 24, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has power upon earth to forgive sins." So we've got the need for forgiveness. And also we see in that section the need for faith, because it was faith that brought them to Christ and brought the man to Christ. And verse 20 says, "When he saw their faith, he said to the man, 'Thy sins are forgiven thee.'" So there we have the principle of man's weakness, man's helplessness, and we have the need for forgiveness and the need for faith. And so these are the principles that we just want to elaborate on as we continue. It's interesting to see that the context of this chapter. At the end of Luke chapter 4, the Lord Jesus is speaking about his ministry. And he says there in verse 43 that he had a ministry that had been given to him by God his Father. And he says it's to preach the kingdom of God. And so he's coming, he's the one who came from heaven down into this world, sent by God his Father, and he came to preach the kingdom of God, and how men and women and how boys and girls can be brought into the blessing of being part of that kingdom of God. And as he goes out in his ministry here in Galilee, and he goes to places like Nazareth and Capernaum, and he is preaching the kingdom of God. And chapter 5 here that we've read from would tell us something about what the kingdom of God involves. Those who will be in the good of the kingdom of God, those who will be in that blessing that God would desire for men, will be those who will be brought to a confession of their sinfulness, as we see in Peter's confession there in verse 8. "Depart from me, I'm a sinful man, O Lord." And the kingdom of God is going to be enjoyed by those who, though they are defiled by their sin, those who will be cleansed from their defilement, as we see typified in that leprous man who was full of leprosy, and he was cleansed and healed by the Lord Jesus. And the kingdom of God will be enjoyed by those who understand that they are helpless sinners, but those who experience forgiveness, the forgiveness of their sins, in response to faith. Those who, like this palsied man, this paralyzed man, who was absolutely helpless, but he was brought to the blessing of forgiveness of sins, and he was able to stand, and he was fully recovered, and he was able to go back to his home, glorifying God because he was in the good of the forgiveness of sins. And those who will enjoy the kingdom of God will be those who are enjoying that blessing of sins forgiven through faith and through trusting in the Savior, the Lord Jesus. So we get these principles in these sections: confession, cleansing, forgiveness, and faith. And we see these things are so relevant to the truth of the gospel. So just thinking firstly there about the great catch of fish and the principle of man's sin and the need for confession. So there was Peter and his fellow fishermen, and they'd spent the night trying to catch fish. They'd taken nothing. And the Lord Jesus speaks a word to them, and he gives that commandment to go out and let down their nets for a great catch of fish. And they obeyed. At least they let down one of their nets, and they enclosed this great multitude of fish. And it was so much fish that the net was breaking, and the boats were sinking under the weight of the fish. And what a display that is of the deity of the Lord Jesus. And we see the word of his power. He spoke that word. He commanded them to let down their nets for a tremendous catch. And here was the Creator, the Divine One, who had complete power over creation. And Peter sees this, and he realizes that he's in the presence of a divine person, and he calls him Master in verse 5. He uses a word that indicates that he recognized this is the one who is Lord over the creation. And this is the one whose word is marked by tremendous power. And there's a lesson there for us all to acknowledge the greatness and the glory of the person of the Lord Jesus. Because every true believer who's going to be in the good of the kingdom of God, every true believer in the Lord Jesus is one that has come to appreciate who the Lord Jesus is, the divine Son of God. Peter later will make confession of it when the Lord Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God. And the Lord Jesus says to Peter, blessed art thou. There's blessing for you, Peter, because you understand who I am, the Christ, the Son of the living God. And if there's no appreciation of that in relation to the Lord Jesus, there will be no blessing of God's salvation. 1 John 4:15 says, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. 1 John 5, verse 1, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. So Peter recognizes the deity, the glory of the Lord Jesus, and he falls down at the knees of Jesus in verse 8, and he says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. So Peter was brought to an end of himself, and he confesses his sinful condition. And I want us just to notice in relation to this that Peter is not comparing himself with other people around him. He's not comparing himself with his fellow fishermen in the boat. He's not comparing himself with all the multitudes of people that were all gathered around listening to the teaching of the Lord Jesus. He's comparing himself with the Lord Jesus. And that's why he says, depart from me. He recognizes, I'm not worthy to be in the presence of this one who is the divine Son of God. And the reason I'm not worthy is because I am a sinful man, O Lord. And so that's something that we all need to come to that appreciation, that it's not about comparing ourselves with one another. It's not about thinking about whether you're better or worse than other men and women or boys and girls, but it's about comparing yourself to the Lord Jesus. And we know that he was the one who was absolutely sinless, and he was absolutely perfect, and he was the only man who has been on this earth that truly pleased God the Father. And Brother Daniel mentioned that verse in Romans 3. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And when we read that verse, and we understand that it is true of every one of us, as sinful men and women, we all fall far short of the standard of the glorious holy life of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all sinful men and women and boys and girls. And that's what Peter is acknowledging here. And he says, depart from me. And it's interesting that he would say that. He's not just confessing a degree of sinfulness, a measure of sinfulness, but his confession is unqualified. It is absolute. He's saying, I'm an utterly wretched, sinful man. I'm not worthy to be in the immediate presence of the sinless Son of God. And as we think about Peter saying that, depart from me, it's a solemn thing to consider that for a person who never gets saved, for a person who never trusts in the Lord Jesus for God's salvation, and that person goes on in their life and the Lord Jesus comes, they will be left in their sins. Or if they die as a sinner, they die in their sins, they will ultimately be brought before the Lord Jesus as the judge. He will be your judge. And his words to you, as in judgment, as he will judge sinners, his word to sinners will be, depart from me. Because that's what we get a few chapters further on in Luke chapter 13. And the picture there, the verses there are describing those who reject the offer of God's mercy. And the door of salvation, the door of opportunity to be saved is closed. And when that door is closed, the Lord Jesus is the one who will say, I know you not, whence you are. And he'll say, depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. So far, far better for you to say those words now and for you to make confession of your sinful condition and to see exactly how your sin is viewed by God. And then we think about this leprous man and his defilement. And it says in verse 12, he was full of leprosy. And here was a man who was in such a terrible condition that the disease had affected his whole body. He was full of leprosy. And he would have been a horribly disfigured man. He would have been deformed by his condition. He would have been in such a state that men would have turned away in revulsion and wouldn't have wanted to look at him, this man that was full of leprosy. And I know that's not a pleasant thought, but as we think of that defiled leper and we think of his need for cleansing, what is it? It's a picture of what we are as sinners before God and what we look like in the eye of God, in all of our sin, in all of our defilement. And that's what God sees when he looks down upon the sinner. He sees that which is, he sees our guilt, he sees our defilement because of our sin. And so you need to understand that that is the way God views you as a sinner. Maybe you live a life that is considered perfectly good and upright as far as society is concerned, and you're not breaking the laws of Canada. You're not. You don't have a criminal record as far as the police authorities are concerned. But you know, as sinners, we all have a record in heaven. And it is the record of our sins, and it's the catalogue of our sinful thoughts and our sinful words and our sinful acts. And it's all recorded in heaven. And we need to acknowledge that God hates our sin, and in God's sight, our sin makes us to appear before God as those that are very, very defiled. So we need cleansing. We need that cleansing from our defilement of our sins. And the Bible tells us that it's the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. And that takes us to the cross of Calvary. And the Lord Jesus there on the cross, he was a sacrifice for sin. He was the one who took the place of sinners. He was the one who shed his precious blood to provide for man's salvation. And so we have to look to the cross for cleansing. And the Lord Jesus stretches out his hand and touches this man, says, "Be thou clean." And it was only the Lord Jesus that could cleanse that man. It's only the Lord Jesus that can cleanse us from all the defilement of our sin. It says there in verse 14 that the Lord says to the man after he's healed, he says, "Go and show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing according as Moses commanded." And if you were to look into what that means, the law had provided a ceremonial cleansing for the leper. It's back in the book of Leviticus. And it involved a ceremony where the leper would go to the priest and they would take two birds. And the first bird would be offered, it would be killed. And it would be killed in such a way that its blood would be preserved. And then there would be a second bird. And that bird was, the wings of it were dipped in the blood of the bird that had been slain. And then that second bird was let go and it was left to fly off into an open field. And what do these things speak about? A bird that was killed, its blood was shed. That speaks to us about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. That tells us of the precious blood that the Lord Jesus shed on the cross. But then there was a bird that was let go, and it flew away. What does that tell us about? That tells us about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And the sacrifice that the Lord Jesus made for sinners on the cross is a sacrifice that God was pleased with, satisfied God. God raised him from the dead, raised his Son from the dead. And so it's on the basis of the death and the resurrection of God's Son that there is salvation for sinners. There's cleansing from the guilt, the defilement of our sins. And there's a verse in Romans 4, verse 25, that says of the Lord Jesus, "He was delivered for our offenses." That's the first bird. That's the death of the Lord Jesus, the blood that was shed, that's the blood of the Lord Jesus shed there on the cross. He was delivered for our offenses, there on the cross, delivered up to death on account of our sins, our offenses. But then the verse says he was raised again for our justification. That's the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. That's that second live bird that was let go in the field. And so we get these pictures for us of the Lord Jesus as the one who can cleanse us from our sin. And then the palsied man, the paralyzed man, who was absolutely helpless. He couldn't do anything to save himself. And he was brought into the presence of the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus was the one who had power, had authority to forgive his sins. And there's no work that any of us can do to make us worthy of the forgiveness of our sins, but it's the work of the Lord Jesus, his work on the cross, that has provided for that forgiveness. And we need that forgiveness. We need the forgiveness of our sins. Those who will be in the kingdom of God, those who will enjoy the blessing of what God has for us in his Son, are those who have trusted in the Lord Jesus for the forgiveness of their sins. And we see the need for faith. And this man, it says verse 20, when the Lord Jesus, when he saw their faith, he said to the man, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." And so what are we trusting in tonight as we come to the end of this meeting? We've seen from the scriptures that we're under sin. We're defiled sinners in God's sight. We need forgiveness of our sins. And our sin needs to be a burden to us. We need to appreciate how horrible it makes us appear in the presence of God as sinners before him. But that burden can be lifted tonight. That burden can be taken away. Your sins can be forgiven. You can hear the Lord Jesus saying to you tonight, your sins are forgiven if you come to him and if you trust in him. And this palsied man says he went away to his own house and he was glorifying God. And here was one who was enjoying the blessing of forgiveness of sins. And that joy was filling his heart. That joy was filling his soul. The scripture says in Psalm 32, blessed is the man, happy is the man whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. And that can be your blessing tonight. That can be your joy tonight. If you're not saved, if you make this night the night of your salvation, the night when you trusted the Lord Jesus for cleansing, for forgiveness, and for the blessing of salvation. So we trust that God's word would be a blessing to each one of us tonight. We'll close in prayer.